Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 2. Listen carefully to it. Think about it. Contemplate it. We're going to try to get to the depth of it this morning. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Think about that. What an unusual verse. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Heavenly Father, please help us. Lord, you know every single person in this room. You know the needs of the heart. You know what's going on in their life. You certainly have that advantage. And here I am, Lord, all of the limitations of a sinful man. And so I need, dear God, your anointing and help and strength and power. I've tried to prepare the message in my heart and my mind. But Holy Spirit of God, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Please be active and help and take the message, and Lord, speak to each Christian individually and help the truths, help them and their life situation this morning. And Lord, it's been good to sing, and it's been good to hear good testimony and praise reports and to pray together and give together. And Lord, now I pray as we join together in the message, Lord, please, may we join hearts as we look at the Bible together and teach us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would hope and encourage every single one of you that are born again Christians, and even if you're not saved, I would encourage this, that you take a little time every morning and read the Bible. I think a day not started with a few minutes in the Word of God is not a day well started. And so I'm not talking about huge amounts. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in quantity that we don't spend much quality time in the Bible. I think the older I get, the slower I read. I've slowed down a lot. Just because I think in my youth I was concerned about how many times I read through the Bible in a year, how many chapters a day. But now, to be honest with you, I just want to read until the Lord speaks. I want to learn something. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me something. And so many, many years ago now, this is one of these verses that if you were to say, jot down maybe the 10 verses in the Bible that has most changed or influenced your life, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2 would be there, one of the verses that I read in my morning devotions. And when I read it, I don't know how many times in the past I have read over it or through it without much thought, but that particular morning, the Holy Spirit slowed my mind down and I stopped and reread it several times and realized that although it seemed to be a beautiful verse, I really had no idea of what it was talking about. So I took the 3x5 card and I wrote the verse down and I stuck it in my pocket. I probably carried it for 2 to 3 weeks, almost every day. And again, boy, if you got a portion of the Word of God on you, you get stuck in line or in traffic or something, or you just have some downtime somewhere where you got a little thinking time, it's a wonderful thing to be able to meditate on the Bible, meditate on the Scriptures. But this verse, to be honest with you, didn't come to me easily. I began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me the Bible. How many of you believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? So there's no fillers. There's no verses that are outdated. We've got so many hyper-dispensationalists that have convinced themselves that entire portions of the Bible don't apply to them. My answer to that is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't believe there's any part of the Bible from which I cannot profit. And so I looked at this verse and said, Lord, I don't understand what this proverb means, but I would sure like to know. And I began to pray and read and then doing some additional study. Begin to study everything the Bible said about the right hand. And I found out this, God refers to himself in this matter as being a right-handed God. How many of you are lefties in here? Go ahead and raise your hand, confess up. Oh my goodness sakes. About everything I say this morning, I'm just going to have to ask you to take and flip it around to that other dominant side of your brain, or I'm going to lose all of you. Left-handers. Let me see your hands again. Who's the left-handers in here? Okay, that's all right. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. God's a right-handed God. The right hand's opposite to the left. What's opposite of God? Let's see here. So you're going to have to just, everything I say about right-handers, you're going to have to turn that into your dominant side. You're going to have to think that way. But when you read about God in the Psalms, Psalm 16:11, that will show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 17:7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them that put their trust in thee. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Now know I, Psalm 26, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. What God is writing here is something that most of us can refer to. If you're left-handed, you switch it around, but everyone has a dominant, strong side. You have a dominant eye, you have a dominant strength. If you're right-handed, you just use that hand, that arm more. You use it first, that's your first choice. And so I began to study this and realize and think, you know what, there's a lot of things that I do in the course of a day with my right hand. And I began to ask the Lord to show me this, the truth of this. And the Bible says this, look at the verse again, think about this. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left hand. All of a sudden, the Lord began to open up some things as I began to compare Scripture to Scripture that really changed my heart and changed my life and made me aware of something at a time in my life when I really needed to know this. Please let me preach, but also testify some. Now, this is two extreme examples. We're talking about a wise man being compared to a fool. Nobody likes to be called a fool. And by the way, the Bible cautions us about using that word and referring to other people. Nobody likes that. That's a harsh statement to say that I've done something that would be foolish or that I'm acting the part of a fool. So the Bible uses some pretty strong terminology here. He says if you're a wise man, you're going to have your heart at your right hand. He said if you're foolish, you're going to move it over into your left hand. And I begin to, again, study and think about the great love of God, the great heart of God. And I realized this, that every single time God's ever reached out his hand, his right hand of strength, his heart's been in his right hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know what? Love accompanied the right hand that day. Love accompanied the strength that day. And I began to meditate upon this and think about it. I began to think about the Apostle Paul. If you'll hold your place there in Ecclesiastes and go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. If there's ever a man that I think ministered with his heart and his right hand, it was the great missionary, evangelist, church planter, soul winner by the name of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And this is a letter written back from the Apostle Paul to a group of people that he'd won to Christ and organized and began a church there in Thessalonica. And he begins to address them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And boy, there's such a sincerity about Paul's words here. For yourselves, brother, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. For even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He said we'd suffered horribly for sharing the gospel. These men were persecuted in this first generation for going out and preaching, and yet he said we would not let that stop us. We came and we even through much contention, we were willing to preach the gospel. For our exhortation, verse 3, was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He said, listen, we didn't come for the wrong reasons, for the wrong motives. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, neither nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And again, Paul is defining, and this, don't have time to teach this, but Christians, listen to me. Every one of us from time to time need to examine our motives of service and make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons. But I want to draw your attention to the tender words. Please notice Paul and the great love that he had for these people. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous. I love that little phrase there. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Now, boy, let that verse grab a hold of your heart a second, because now we're getting down to figuring out Ecclesiastes 10:2. See, Paul said this, I could have come in and just preached the gospel, just given you the gospel. And by the way, he could have defended it. He could have said, you know what? That's what Jesus commissioned us to do, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I did it. I preached the gospel to them. Kind of like Jonah, the heart behind his message. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, didn't want to preach to them, didn't want them to get saved, got mad when they did. So he walks in and just says, 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed. Went outside, sat up on a hill and said, okay, God, I told him, now kill him. There was no heart in that message. He was using the strength of his right hand, but his heart was in his left. Brother Jonah, his heart was in his left hand. But not Paul. He said, by the way, I call this the missing ingredient in evangelism and the missing ingredient in discipleship. At some point, you have to decide whether or not you are just going to minister to people with truth, or whether or not you're going to deliver beyond truth. You're going to deliver yourself. Not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Why? Because you were dear unto us. Care enough about people. Care enough about a situation. Care enough about a family. Care enough about a young person. Not to just do your duty. Not to just tell them what they need to hear. But to do it with a part of you in it. To keep your heart in your right hand. Are you following with me? Are you here? Look down in verse number 11. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, watch this, as a father doth his children. Verse 17, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, watch this, what's it say next? Not in heart. You ought to underline that. Some of you, you know what? This may be your saving grace. Just like Jerry Ross needed this truth, you may be at a crossroad. This may be your saving grace. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, verse 17, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. How about verse 19? For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He said, what's my hope? What's my joy? What's my crown of rejoicing? You are. You are. Verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. I want to give you some thoughts here, Christians, and please hear. And if you're here without Christ as your Savior, at the conclusion of this message, I want to talk to you about Jesus and his right hand, and what was in his right hand on Calvary's cross. Christians, can we talk together for a minute? Listen to me. Everything you do should include your heart. Everything you do should include your heart. That's why the Bible says you're wise if you keep your heart in your right hand. I'm right-handed. I begin to, after studying about the Lord's right hand, I begin to just look at my hand, and for the next couple days, I purposely, and I'd like you to do this purposely the next few days, think about how often you use your right hand and what you use it for. When I reach out and shake somebody's hand, I reach out with my right hand. When the little children will come by and say hi to the preacher, and I'll reach out and touch their head as I often do. And I do that with my right hand. I reach out and touch their head and pray a blessing for them. When I pick up my tools to do my job, men, when we pick up our tools, we pick them up with our right hand. When I pick up a pen to write out a message, I'm writing it with my right hand. When I point, even when I discipline my children, watch it. Are you listening, men? Even when I discipline my children, I use my right hand. Even when there's times, and you know what? The Bible says, earnestly contend for the faith. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Even when I fight, my heart should be in my right hand. Even when I have to. I want you to think about this. Here's the question for this morning. Is your heart in your right hand or is it in your left hand? Everything you do should include your heart. Everybody you reach out to, you ought to reach out with a part of you. Every job that you do, there ought to be a part of your heart in it. Every person you touch, If there's ever an important place for that to happen, it must be in the work of God. Sunday school teachers, listen to me. You just got done in the last hour teaching your Sunday school class. Was your heart in your right hand or in your left hand? Ushers, I'm glad you're back there at your post doing your job when people are coming in. But let me ask you this. Was your heart in your left hand or your right hand? Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Bus captains, thank you for getting on that bus. Bus workers, God bless you. Bus drivers, you grabbed a hold of that wheel with your right hand. Which hand was your heart in this morning? Everything we do should include our hearts. The Bible says you're wise if you keep it in your right hand. Everything you reach out to do, every person you reach out to touch, everything you go to do for the Lord, make sure your heart's in your right hand. Can I be really, really transparent with you? When God called me to preach, I struggled with it a little bit for several reasons. And I surrendered to preach. But one of the reasons that I kind of struggled with it was this. It's like, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, I'll do it. But I got just one kind of problem. I don't really like people. Come on, I'm 17 years old. Raised a PK. Any preacher's kids in here? Got a few people that maybe understand what I'm talking about a little bit here. I mean, people my whole life. After a while, you're just okay, they're all fine, but I just wish they'd go away. And to this day, I could be a hermit real easy. Come on, man. Somebody out there understand what I'm talking about? I mean, see, preacher, are you antisocial? Probably a little. I mean, I'm just telling you, when I was 17, it was like, Lord, I know the world needs the gospel, and I know they need preachers, and I'll do it. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't know if I'm the guy, because I can do it. If you give me the strength and you help me, I can do it. But I'm just not that thrilled about spending my life around people. Why don't you send me out as a missionary to where there's nobody? How about this? Missionary to the uninhabited lands. So I went off to Bible college and I needed to get a ministry there. And I went there for the purpose of joining Fisherman's Club because I knew that I knew how to be a better soul winner. So that wasn't too bad because, we went to a different neighborhood every week and you witnessed to people. And that was good. But, you kind of keep people at a distance. And even in the dorms, I got along with the guys all right. But you know what? I just kind of, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and somebody needed something, I'd try to do it for them. If there was a chance to witness, I'd do it. If there was somebody that needed some encouragement, I'd do it. But it was more about duty than it was about heart. And then the Bible college I went to said, in order to graduate, you got to spend at least 1 year in the bus ministry. And I always said this, Fisherman Club trained my head, but the bus ministry trained my heart. I said, okay, I'll go up there in the inner city of Chicago and I'll put a year in the bus ministry and I'll get this thing done. And I'll do it the way Jerry Ross has done everything else. And by the way, preacher, why are you like this? Now listen to me. Everything we do should include our heart. But when you include your heart, you risk your heart. Because even at 17, I got hurt enough in my life by people. I remember Bob Kelly one time coming in here preaching revival, and he said, Christians can be the meanest people in the world. It was the only time I said amen in my teens. The entire time I was in my teens, Amen. That's right. Come on. It's just us here this morning. Let's be honest. I mean, come on. A lot of good people. There's also a lot of mean people. I think just enough had happened in my life. I mean, I'm persecuted for Christ. I wasn't a martyr or anything. But just enough where it's just like, you know what? I get it. I believe in God. I'm saved. I want to help. I want to do. But you know what? I'm going to do it. I kind of want to do it like this. Okay, I did it, Lord. The problem is, I can't point back to one supernatural, divine, miraculous thing that happened when I was serving the Lord like that. Because I wasn't wise. Brother Val, I wasn't wise. I was trying to serve the Lord, but I was doing it foolishly. I thought that you could just deliver the goods or do the task and protect yourself, and it would work because, you know what? If I put my heart in my right hand, then I'm putting it at risk. And by the way, let me say this. A heart at risk will eventually be broken. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to betray you. Somebody's going to stab you in the back. And most people in here that are good people and still trying to do something for the Lord, you know what? You are doing it, but let me ask you the honest question. Which hand is your heart in? Which hand is your heart in? So I joined the bus ministry, and I do a little stint in Division 12 with my roommate. He's a bus captain. I'll go up there, and I went and helped him for a while, and it was all good, but I still kind of done it like this. Oh, yeah, nice little ghetto kids. Nice. Stay back. Okay, good. Yeah, I guess. You know, you got a problem. I get it. We all have problems. I'll pray for you. God bless you. And I just kind of wanted to serve, but I wanted to keep this buffer zone. Because I got to protect me. By the way, Jesus didn't serve that way. Jesus doesn't come here protecting himself. Jesus came here with his heart fully in his right hand. So after I did that for about 6 months, bus captain came to me and said, Brother Ray Young wants to see you. And I said, why? And he said, he wants you to be a bus captain in Division 8. And I said, I don't want to be a bus captain. I'll just be a bus worker. And he said, you don't seem to understand. You don't say no to this. Go to the office. And I went to the office thinking, well, he thinks I don't say no to this, but I am Jerry Ross and I know how to say no. And so I will go in there and tell him I'm not going to do this. And so I knocked on the door and Ray Young opened the door. He come in and he's busy doing something. He hands me a packet and I got it in my hand. He said, listen, this Saturday morning you need to go to room such and such. And then he stands up and he shakes his hand. I prayed about this. You're going to be a great bus captain. Pushes me out the door, shuts the door. And I'm standing there with this packet in my hand, now a bus captain, and I didn't get a chance to say anything. So find this guy named Darryl Moore. He's your new division leader. He'll tell you where your bus route is. Okay, Lord, okay. I can do this still, and you know what? I'll do it the Jerry Ross way. All right, I can be a bus captain. I'll boss some workers around, and I'll have some kids on the bus, and we'll have a good time. But honestly, okay, we'll do it kind of like this. So I'm trying to be a bus captain now. My heart's here. First Saturday, I hook up with Darryl Moore. He said, listen, we're putting you on a route that hasn't had a captain in 6 months. And he said, there's only about 8-10 kids that come on the bus. And I thought, good. And he said, my route's next door to it. And he said, I got a lot of kids coming. So I'm going to give you one street of my route. You got to understand, it's hard to comprehend this when real bus ministry. But you know, those of you who have been in Chicago or inner city ministries, you get this. But I mean, I had a route that was 4 blocks by 5 blocks in inner city Chicago, but I'm telling you, that is thousands and thousands of people that live there. And so Darryl Moore said, the one street that I'm going to give you is 4 blocks long, and I've got probably about 5 or 6 families that come on it or kids that come. I'll meet you up there first thing, and I'll take you visiting. I'll introduce you to those 4, 5, 6 families, and then you can visit the rest of your route. And at this point, I still don't even know what I'm doing. He gives me an address. You can get to this. By the way, no GPS, no laptop, no cell phone. No, there was tin cans with strings. That's all we had back in those days. And so I figure out how to get there. I'll meet you at such and such time in the street corner. And then here we are, Holman Avenue, and 4 blocks between 22nd and 26th Street, south side of Chicago. And he said, I want to introduce you to these 5 or 6 families. And by the way, folks, that took 2 hours. First house we went to, there was 3 little girls. I can still picture them in my mind. I still see them in my mind's eye. Darryl Moore took me between 2 houses to the very back door, bottom basement type apartment, knocked on the door. Little Mexican mother came to the door and had these 3 adorable little girls, and they come running out. Brother Moore got down on his knees, and he's talking to them, and they're talking to him, and they're telling him everything that happened that week, and he's just having a great time with them, and I'm just kind of standing back like, wow. That's dangerous. I don't know if I'd get down there. Come on now. By the way, some of you have been doing this a long time. Come on, you've been doing this a long time. But you're not changing lives, are you? Come on, what's the last supernatural, miraculous testimony you can give about the impact that God's used you to have on somebody else? Well, preacher, I've been hurt. You don't understand. Hey, join the club. We've all been hurt. Join the club. We've all been hurt. No temptation taking you, which is common to man. Yeah, come on now. No, we want to. Everybody wants to be just that one person that has had it a little rougher than anybody else, and so now they're the exception. You know what? God doesn't see it that way. He says, if you're wise, you put your heart in your right hand. Preacher, it's at risk then. If you're wise, you put it. I did that before, and it got broke. If you're wise, listen, I'm still serving. I just switched the heart to the left. It doesn't hurt as bad. Bible says, God says, if you're wise, you put your heart in your right hand. If you want to be foolish, leave it in your left hand. But why don't you go ahead and do what I said? Put your heart in your right hand. I watched that man get on his knees and spend 10 or 15 minutes talking to those three little girls and the mom and setting up a time for them to come tomorrow. Then he turned around to me and he said, this is your new bus captain. And man, those little girls got this look on their face and looked over at me like, who is this guy? And looked at Brother Moore, who they obviously loved, and looked at me and looked at Brother Moore and looked at me. Man, they're looking up at me and I'm kind of like, and then he began to talk to them, and he said, I want you to understand something. The next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to come by and visit you every single Saturday. And I may not be able to visit you every week after that, but every Sunday I'll come to the bus and find you because I want you to be there. I expect you to be there. You're still going to see me at church. And then he started weeping. He just sat there and wept. And they started weeping. He said, I want you to promise me you won't quit coming to church. And they said, okay. And then he got up and he cried himself down between the two buildings, down the next half block over, and he introduced me to, by the way, next house he took me was Oscar and Angie Marino. Oscar Marino is the one that came here at Tabitha's wedding, the big ugly Cuban guy. I'm going to say that again because he might be listening on the internet later, the big ugly Cuban guy. And by the way, fourth grader. Angie's oldest sister, seventh grader, same thing. He's weeping. This took 2 hours. 5, 6 stops took 2 hours. As he handed off these people to me, he wept his way down 4 blocks. At the end of it, he turned around and looked at me, wiped the tears from his face, went like this and said, you take care of them. And then he turned around and walked to his bus route. And I sat there and I watched that. And God was all over me. And I said, God, I don't know what I just saw, but if I'm ever going to be good at what you called me to do, I got to get that. And you know what God said? It's real easy, son. Get your heart out of your left hand, put it in your right. And you don't understand. No, I do understand. By the way, Jesus understands this. Come on, watch this. He came down to earth and he put his heart in his right hand. And by the way, you show me one place in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where you can find a story where Jesus ever had his heart in any other hand but his right hand. And by the way, when they laid him on the cross on Golgotha's hill, they took a spike and they drove it through his right hand. And when they did, they drove it through his heart. And it's very interesting. Doctors will tell you, when they took that spear and they shoved it into his side and water came out mingled with blood, doctors will tell you that is the evidence, the sign of a man who has died from a broken heart. You know what? Jesus came and he didn't hold back anything. And if you're teaching a Sunday school class and somehow you've been hurt a few times, well, I'm not going to quit my job, but I'm just going to go into protect mode. You're robbing those kids. I said, you're robbing those kids. And the answer is not for you to come and resign your Sunday school class. The answer is for you to take that heart out of your left hand and put it back in your right hand. People need to experience the love of God. They need to see Daryl Moore tears at their door. I went around the rest of the day under such conviction. As soon as he left and walked away, I'm standing there under some conviction, looking over at a section of Chicago, 5 blocks by 4 blocks, thinking, this part of Chicago, they need him. They don't need me. They need him. God said, let me make you him. I looked around. There was an abandoned building over to the left, stairs going down. abandoned apartment, glass on it. I went down there where I could be by myself, swept and kicked some spot on the cement, got on my knees and said, God, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what I just saw. But Lord, if you can help me to be that, if you could help me to be that, there's a whole lot of hurting people in this terrible, wicked place. Need somebody like Daryl Moore coming by their door. The rest of the day, I wandered around lost. I don't even know what I'm doing. Remember new bus captains? You know, shouldn't it come with a book or a manual or somebody help you out here? I didn't know where I was. Half the time, I didn't even know if I was on my own route. I had two lady workers. They told me I never seen them all day long. They were supposedly visiting somewhere. I got home. I had no organization. I walked in my dorm rooms, and I had scraps of paper with names on them with no addresses and addresses with no names. I spread them out all over my bed, do the best I could to figure and count, figure we're going to have about 15 tomorrow, and I get on my knees and said, God, I don't care if we have 5, 15, 20. Just let me show them what I saw. And I prayed. I couldn't sleep that night. I prayed and prayed and prayed into the wee hours of the morning, finally fell asleep for a few hours, got up, went to the bus center, met my bus driver for the first time, drove to the route. He knew where it was, and thank God he did, or I'd have never got there. Met my two lady workers for the first time. I said, did you have some good visits? Yeah, we had a few. I think some kids are excited. Good. He told me, the bus driver, how do you want to pick this route up? I said, I don't know. I said, it's 4x5. I guess just start on one street and zigzag and let's just see. He said, well, where are the kids? I said, well, I got a few addresses. I said, just look. I don't know. Hopefully they're out there. Yeah, Mr. Bus Captain Extraordinaire here. I was lost. We started down Holman Street, and by the time we got down to the bottom of Holman Street, there was 20 kids that was on that bus. We turned around and came back up and down those streets, and I'll be honest with you, to this day, I don't know where those kids came from, but I remember this because we had a 72-passenger bus, and we had exactly 72 kids on the bus that morning. 72 kids. And I got up in front of those kids that morning, and I couldn't say anything. And I looked at those faces, and they're all looking at me. They don't know me. I don't know them. God just, listen, God, I think for the first time in my life, I think God gave me the grace to say, okay, here goes. I'm going to give this thing a try. We'll see what happens. And I put my heart in my right hand, and I looked at those kids, and I said, my name's Brother Jerry Ross. I'm your bus captain. And I began to weep, and I said, I love you. I love you. And you know what? I think they believed it. Brother Oscar Marino, somebody stopped him at the church here. Somebody told me that's in this church. Stopped him at the church while he was here taking pictures and said, Brother Jerry Ross was your bus captain, good night, 25 years ago. Why do you guys still keep in contact? Is he the only bus captain you ever had? And his answer was this. Oh, that's easy. He loved us. He loved us. That's it. He loved us. Adults, listen to me. You might be able to fool other adults because us adults get kind of stupid the older we get. But you ain't going to fool kids. I guarantee you the children in children's church know in the first 10 minutes whether or not Chad Gordon loves them or not. Yeah, I guarantee you Sunday school too. You have them all fooled, but you know what? They know where your heart is. You're not going to fool children. We're getting ready to start Master's Club. Master Club workers, if this is just a deal where you go out there so you don't have to be in the service, and you're goofing around and playing, and you know what? It's not about the kids. You know what? I pray to God this morning you'll find your way to an altar, and you'll get your heart out of your left hand and put it in your right. Listen to me. Some of you used to serve, and you used to be busy, and you used to be active, but oh, heaven forbid, you got hurt a few times. Excuse me. Do you want to see the scars? How many scars do you think my dad carried to his grave after 40 years of ministry? How many excuses do you think he had to quit or to stop? Let me tell you something. It's hard sometimes, and I get it. And I wish I could say from that first day on that bus route, there wasn't a time or two that I didn't slip my heart back over into my left hand just to say, I'm going to protect myself. But you know what happened? Almost immediately, I stopped having any impact, and it didn't mean anything, and nobody was being helped, and nobody's being transformed, and God would get me under conviction. not have to come to God and not have to say, God, you know what? I need an old-fashioned breaking. I need an old-fashioned tears. I need something to happen in my life. God, help me to get my heart back where it is. By the way, be careful to pray that prayer. If you don't mean it, don't you be careful to pray that prayer. Preacher, I could sure wish I could weep over souls. I'm gonna ask God to let me weep over souls. You better know what you're praying. Let me help you. The best people we have, look right up here, let me help you. The best people we have, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, are the ones that have gone through the most hurt. It'll either make you better or bitter. You know why some of you won't cry over anything? Nothing ever touches your heart? You're in protect mode. You're in protect mode. Division 8, Route 113. God taught me to put my heart in my right hand. I wish I had time to tell you all the stories. Say, preacher, I tried that once. I was all in. Heart in my right hand. What did I do with my glasses? There they are. Praise the Lord. Used to serve with my heart in my right hand. Used to risk it. But I got hurt. I got hurt. Got disappointed. Got stabbed in the back. Got hurt. Got betrayed. Just finally I said, okay. Your heart is eventually going to get broken if you serve people and serve the Lord. When it does, you got one of four choices. You can quit serving the Lord and quit reaching out to help people. That's how a lot of people deal with it. Put your heart in your right hand, you start serving, you start doing, lives are being helped, people are being changed, people are being transformed, your children know it, your wife knows it. But then something happened and you got hurt. And you know what? You said, I'm not going to do that anymore. The way I'm going to not get hurt is I'm just not going to be involved. By the way, church, if I had a dollar for every person home I've knocked in this area that said, I used to go to church, I used to serve the Lord, I used to be a Sunday school teacher, I used to, but something happened and since then we've been out of church. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care what happened. That is no excuse to quit on the Lord. That's no excuse. Come on. That's no excuse. So some people just quit serving the Lord. Number two, some of them continue to serve the Lord, but they put their heart in their left hand. But when you do that, people will know it, especially children, especially teenagers. You'll know it, by the way. You'll know it. Down deep, you'll know you're robbing those you serve. God knows it. And he's never going to leave you alone about it. Number three, you can continue to serve the Lord and try to do this. And this is what a lot of Christians do. Okay, let's see. I'm doing this, I'll put it in my right hand for the next 45 minutes. Then another group, I'll put this here. Oh, there's somebody I want to say hi to. Oh, wait, there's Elizabeth. Sounds like a good plan. The problem is it's almost impossible to turn this thing on and off. And the more times you put it in your left hand, the easier it is to leave your heart in your left hand. And by the way, the Bible still condemns us as foolish for being a left-handed hearted Christian. Here's a lot of the philosophy. Well, wait a minute, preacher, I get that. And I do understand that there's some people that I need to be nice to. So here's the rule. If people are nice to me, I'll be nice to them. If you understood how many Christians operate on that principle. And yet the words of Christ ring from Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good unto them that do good unto you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend of them of whom you receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. But Love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he, God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Now, what are we saying here? Boy, I hope you're getting this. Are you here? Are you with me? All right, if you're a little sleepy, you did. All right. About a year later, I'm walking down the bus route. I divide up. I got two male workers. I say, listen, I want you to go over and do Sacramento Street. I'm going to go over and do this. We'll meet in about an hour, and then we'll reorganize. So they went to do their thing. About 15 minutes later, I look down my street, and here comes my two male workers. Drive me nuts. I told them, just go for an hour. Can't they just go do it? Come on. It's like, well, what's going on? He said, we can't do Sacramento Street. I said, why? Because there's this crazy kid over there. And I said, what do you mean there's a crazy kid? We can't get down the street. There's a crazy kid. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, why don't you come look? And so I said, all right, I'll come look. And I walked down. We looked around the corner, and they're on the porch about halfway block down the block of the first street. The first block they're supposed to go down is this kid, and he's just sitting there on the porch with no shirt on and a pile of rocks on the front porch. And then one of the male workers told me, he said, watch this. And so he started walking down the street, and he got about halfway down. The kid got up, started taking rocks and pelting him with the rocks. He come running back. He said, I told you, there's a crazy kid. I said, I know. That's why I sent you on this street, not me. I said, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe this kid's throwing rocks at you. So I said to the other guy, you try it. And I just wanted to watch, you know. And so the other guy came down, and stirred up, man. He said, he was pretty good. I mean, he could have played for the Cubs. Well, anybody could play for the Cubs. Sorry about that. Anyway, but I mean, he was catching him. He was nailing him. So he came back, and they're both mad. Let's go down there. Let's whoop him. If we charge him from two, I mean, they're just mad, you know. I said, all right, you guys stand here and keep his attention a little bit. And I said, give me about 10 minutes, and come on walking down. And so I went around, cut down a street through an alley, and came up. There's an alleyway by his apartment. There's alleyways everywhere, and up the side of his house. And I waited there around the corner. I peeked around. I could see me sitting right there on the porch I'm right by. And so these two guys come walking down. He gets up, and he's chucking rocks on him. And there's an old bus seat that he's sitting on. So while he's throwing rocks at him, I jump over the banister and sit down in the bus seat, you know, where he was sitting. And all of a sudden, they back up, and he turns around, and there I am. And I said, hey, what's going on? He said, nothing. He said, hot out here. Yeah, it is. I said, you know those two guys? No. I said, why are you throwing rocks at him? He said, I don't like him. I said, well, I know him. And I'm not real fond of him either, to be honest with you. He didn't know what to do. He just kind of standing there looking at him. I'm just sitting there looking at him. I put my feet up on the banister. I said, I'm hungry. Me too. So I was thinking about walking over 26th Street and hit the McDonald's there. You want to go? You buy it? I said, yeah, I'll buy it. You can get whatever you want. I can get whatever I want. Yeah, get as much as you want. All right. I said, here's the deal. You put a shirt on and go and tell your mama where you're going. My mama don't live with me. It's real defensive. My mama don't live with me. I said, okay, who watches you? Nobody. I said, somebody lives here with you. Who is it? Well, grandma lives here, but I do what I want. I said, all right. I said, why don't you tell grandma? I don't have to tell her where I'm going. I said, I know. But if you're going to eat hamburgers with me, you're going to go tell her. So why don't you go in there and just tell her where we're going? Put a shirt on, come back out here. All right. Goes in. Two guys are looking, you know. He comes back out, and I said, listen, don't let them see us, but when we go by the pile of rocks, let's get some. So we both pick up rocks. We go walking down the street. I'm like, now don't throw them. Don't throw them until I tell you to. Don't throw them. Don't throw them. These guys are like, wow, he healed the maniac, you know. So we go walking, and we don't say a word, and we just walk by him. One of the guys are going, where are you going? Get something to eat. Can we? No, you visit. Just keep busy. So we got about 20, 30 yards past. I said, ready? His name was Lewis. I said, ready, Lewis? He said, yeah. I said, now. We turn around. We start pelting with rocks, you know. They're screaming, carrying on. You know what? That kid, thank God for the dollar menu. That kid ate about 8 hamburgers that day. I had to withdraw from school the next semester because of that. He rode the bus. Watch this. Rode the bus. Boy, he had anger problems. That kid, by the way, you know why? Because he'd been hurt a lot. I got to be careful what I tell you. He grew up watching his mom bring men home. He got hurt. Are you listening to me? He got hurt. You know what he needed? Somebody to say, with his right heart in his right hand, you hungry? After about 3 weeks, I went by his house on a Sunday morning to pick him up for church. I remember it was raining. He knocked on the door, and he'd been asleep, and he came out, and he sat on the same bus bench that he's like this. He's huddled up, doesn't have a shirt on. It's kind of cold. It's raining. I said, you going to be able to go? No, I can't go today. Brother Jerry, I can't go. I said, Lewis, I got a few minutes before the bus is coming back around to pick us up. I said, I got to ask you something, man. You've been coming to church. I said, you heard about Jesus? Yeah. Know what he did for you? I do. I said, can I tell you the story again? Yeah. I went through the story. And I said, Lewis, Jesus loves you. And he just kept looking at me like he couldn't believe it. Like he wouldn't believe it. I said, Lewis, look at me. I promise you this is true. Jesus loves you. He kind of started shaking his head like that. I said, Lewis, tears coming out of my face. I'm telling you, I know him. He loves you. The first time since I met that boy, I seen tears come to his face. And I said, would you want to be saved? Would you want to pray and ask Jesus to save you? And I'll never forget what he did, because you know what? Even people with no church background know a little bit about reverence to God. He spun around, got on his knees right by that bus, just like he'd see in a picture, like he saw in a children's picture one. Folded his little hands like this. I knelt down beside him, and that boy called out the sweetest prayer I've ever heard in my life and asked Jesus to save him that day. What I'm saying this, we're done. I went over longer than I should have, and I'm done. But listen, those kind of kids don't live just in Chicago. And that kind of heartache isn't just up there in the big city. And I promise you, we don't have the time to do it, but I guarantee you, if you knew what some of the kids that rode the buses in the Blessed Hope Baptist Church went through this week, if you knew, it would break your heart. And somebody in this church has got to put their heart in their right hand and say, preacher, you know what? It's a little extra work, but I'll help on a bus route. It's a little extra work, but if you need a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school helper, preacher, I'll not just sit in here on Sunday morning. I'll go work in a junior church or a children's church. Where do you need me? Because you know what? The people that make the most difference in other people's lives are the ones that aren't afraid to say, all right, there. Preacher, but you're at risk then, yep. And you already said your heart's going to be broke. Guarantee it. Can I say this? We need to have our hearts broken. Because you know what? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall. Since dry-eyed, clinical Christianity, you may soothe your conscience with it, but you don't change lives with it. And you know what? That's not what God's been to us, and let's not be that to other people. Look right up here. Husbands, come on. In the treatment of your wife, which hand is your heart in? I don't have time to make application. Moms, dads, in the treatment of your children, which hand is your heart in? All right, the co-workers you work with that you just tolerate. Why don't we go in tomorrow with a heart in our right hand and try to make a difference in their lives? Come on now, come on. Are you thinking about children? When it comes to mom and dad, where's your heart? Which hand is it in? Blessed Hope Baptist Church workers, ministry, bus ministry, nursing home. Brother Casper, your family's going to go over there tomorrow. You know it, I know it. You can't help those people with your heart in your left hand. You can't help them with your heart in your left hand. God spoke to your heart, lady. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this great truth. I pray, Lord, that all of us that are saved will do what our Savior did for us and put our hearts in our right hand and do whatever we need to do to help people. at risk of being hurt, at risk of being broken, at risk of being disappointed, at risk of being devastated. And when it comes, let it come. And let us learn to weep a little more. And let us keep our heart right where it ought to be. And keep us busy serving you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there may be someone here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm going to tell you what I told Lewis that day. Jesus loves you." "No, preacher, nobody's ever loved me." Yes, Jesus loves you. He put his heart in his right hand and he came down and took upon him the form of flesh, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He let him drive that spike through his right hand, drove it through his heart. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over people. He heard the cries of the needy. He never passed up an opportunity to be a blessing and help. He died on an old rugged cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. And he reaches out that same right hand, that heart hand this morning. And in that hand is the gift of eternal life. But you have to decide to receive it. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're your Savior. There's people praying for you. I'm praying for you. I don't know who's here, who's not. I don't know who's saved, who's not. I don't know. I just pray for you, though. Pray that you'd be saved. Heavenly Father, please, dear God, speak to hearts. Help us to realize, Lord, what you did for us. And then help us to take that and do it for others. We pray, please, in Jesus' name.